Hey, After Buzzers, this is the 100 Season 3, Episode 16, the season finale, Perverse Instantation. Yep, I nailed it, Part 2. Join us for to talk about it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, welcome back.
Oh,
man. We are on our season finale. It's so sad.
I was clapping for you just now. Your delivery was amazing.
Thank you very much. I am a professional, guys. The best. And you know me, Tari J. Miller. And I'm joined by two wonderful co-hosts, as always, Mr. Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? This is the finale. This is so exciting. We've been waiting. She came back. Woo! So excited to be here. I'm going to start opening this champagne while you talk, Alexis.
Oh, nice. Okay. Alexis.
Oh, I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media. Hi.
Hey, everybody. I am Alexis Torres. You can find me, We're All Shenanigans Will Ensue, at atorres890. As you can see, I tried really hard to get the Alexa makeup to work because I just moved recently, so all of my stuff is everywhere. So I apologize if it's not exactly.
Girl, it looks real good.
Cool. Thanks, real
guys.
Good.
Yeah.
Real good.
I expect you to pull out two swords any moment.
Well, it's funny because I do have two swords in my car. I just didn't bring it.
Oh, like, nice.
Yeah, because I was scared that it was just going to be all over the place.
Right.
Brace yourselves.
You can find me at Tari J, TariJay. We are toasting to the finale, guys. It's been a long season, a great season. There have been trials and tribulations.
Whoa.
Just so much happening, and I'm glad to have experienced it with you guys, and so we're cheersing real quick. For those who are listening, cheers to you as well.
That was the sound of the bottle.
Yeah.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers
for an awesome
another season of our favorite show.
Indeed.
It's a hard thing to say when you do multiple after shows. I want to say it with every show I'm on, but, you know, there are moments.
Yeah.
All the time.
So I'm gonna jump into it.
I'm gonna go Granny Lexus first. Granny Lexa for a second, so that
Granny
I can
Lexa.
Granny Lexa.
It's a good look. It's a good look.
I'm gonna tell all the children.
Oh,
I was kicking ass with my two swords. Sorry.
We're trying to get our chat going.
Mine just crashed.
We're gonna try our damnedest, but if we can't, you know, it is what it is. We're gonna talk about the show though.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't catch us on the chat. Keep up with us on Twitter, and as you know, you have our Twitter handles. So, jumping into it, we got Abby returned to the fold.
Oh my
redeemed,
gosh.
Guys, yeah. Right?
Mm. Crazy.
It was like
there we go.
It was like
Granny Lexa up in this house. Okay.
It was totally like a Matrix moment when they take the thing out of his stomach with the gun. You know what I'm talking about, in the car?
Right. Yeah.
That's kind of what it seemed like when we used the EMP to take the thing out of her. She didn't actually take anything out of her neck, but that's kind of what it looked like, what it reminded me of. In fact, there's a lot of Matrix imagery with the flame and its little tentacles coming out of the neck and all that.
Yeah, so
both
creepy.
Of those, I feel like, are totally drawn from that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, thank you.
Everyone being in a virtual
nice.
World.
They're all being so nice to us.
Thanks, guys. Nice to us. We're trying here. I'm trying. Bring it up here.
Chat is up. We got it.
We can see it.
Yeah,
and we're gonna try to interact.
There. Hence why I'm wearing my glasses. Because I'm like, I can't see that. So there you go. I'll send pictures later. But anyway.
And my glasses are fake, so I can see it anyway.
But ours are real.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to fit in.
Nerd glasses.
Nerd.
So, we got that sweet gun. I wish that, like, that was used a little bit more. Like,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a one-shotter, because it was really cool.
The thing in the back of Paige's neck.
Yeah.
But also, I like that their first move was to bring back their paladin.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
the healer,
that was
just to
awesome.
Make sure. Yeah. Because they couldn't have pulled this off without her.
No. If they didn't bring Abby back and she was just knocked out, if it was knocked out, then yeah, no, that would not work.
Yeah.
At all. Like, at all. And I'm also just glad to have Abby back in the fold, because even though we didn't get to, like, we saw a lot of her, but, like, most, it was either, A, she was just kind of, like, conflicting people, and then the other half was her being chipped the entire time and her being tossed around a little bit, but now she was like, I am in control, because my daughter is in, and I love the little mother-daughter
moment. It's a good moment,
yeah.
It's very
really
good moment.
Nice.
Phone feedback.
All right.
Mine is dead, so,
That's probably just my phone.
Did you guys find it at all peculiar that no one died of consequence?
Right? I mean, I'm not forgetting something, am I? I mean, aside from obviously Lexa dying a second time, but like.
Can't, wait, I don't want to relive that.
Right. But right. I just mean, like, none of our mains. I mean, there was one where I thought Jasper was dead.
Right.
We all had Pike die.
Oh, that's true. No, I take it back.
I was like, Pike died.
Pike did die. But Pike was kind of a character who, like, I think we all knew he was going to die. It was super hard to imagine Mike Beach actually making it through the end of the season.
Yeah, like, I mean, he was the season's big bad.
Yeah, it was very hard to imagine him making it. Right. Turns out he's a friend of a friend of mine on Twitter, a guy who's in my fantasy football league, who's actually the villain in The Last Ship. Oh. I didn't even know until recently.
Oh, yeah.
You watched The Last Ship?
I just started.
Yeah, so his name's Fernando Chin. He's a good friend of mine.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. He's in the movie Warrior, which is one of my favorite movies, and that's how I met him, is because I know a bunch of the guys in that movie now.
Right.
Now he's in my fantasy league, and I tweeted at him the other day. Mm-hmm. I think I tweeted about the 100, maybe, and then he tagged Mike Beach and was like, "Hey, Mike, you're on the 100. Get back at Ben." And I was like, "Oh, cool.
Nice."
But he's dead now, so it's unfortunate.
We can still have him talk about how he felt.
Yeah,
that's
true. Maybe next season we can have him come on.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. We should all work on our best Pike impressions, too.
That'll just be you. Yeah.
Not to jump too far ahead, but, like, we don't know that he's dead, necessarily.
What?
He was stabbed in the stomach, and it was brutal.
Through him,
like,
with a sweet knife.
Through him, like, completely through his body.
Okay, guys. We've seen worse.
Yeah,
can we all just talk about the fact that we never saw Rowan? Nothing ever. We just think he just got carried away after getting shot in the throat.
I thought he was dead. I thought he's just gone.
I mean, they just, like, he was still breathing, and they, like, carried him away as though he was not dead yet when he got shot, and we just never saw anything. I guess he's dead. Mm.
I would imagine. If he's not, like, he definitely wasn't going to be a very big factor in this whole ordeal.
Right.
Just because he was shot, like, let's see, 30 minutes before the events of this episode.
Right.
So he was either on a cross, getting tempted with the chip, or he was bleeding to death, or he's dead.
Somebody in the chat just pointed out something. I would like to explain this, because I know we did it once before, but it is the finale, so anybody that's watching this that is wondering, maybe you missed it, somebody just said, remember when Lindsay Morgan was supposed to be on here? And just one last time for everybody, it was a reschedule. Unfortunately, it happened late enough in the season, and she had to go to San Francisco to film a movie.
Right.
It's been tough to get her back in here. We will eventually get her in here, I promise you. We've been in touch. She's totally excited to come back. But just in case anybody watching is like, oh man, she will come on. I guarantee it. It'll happen.
Yeah.
Calling it right now. Sorry.
So,
sorry to hijack.
Yeah. The short answer is yes, we do remember that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so we get this crazy plan that Clark comes up with.
Right.
Where she's basically like, all right, we're going to transfuse Antari's blood.
Right.
And then I'm going to jump into... Oh,
that is so,
Alexis has problems.
I know that this is just for story and plot, CW things, fantasy worlds and stuff like that. Guys, that's not safe. It's not sanitary. It's not. It's not real.
Maybe Nightblood is like O positive blood.
Okay, fine.
You're just talking about the fact that no one was like, do they have the same blood type? Let's not check. And then, like, let's use this probably unsanitary needle. And there's a dead person.
Yeah.
And you're just going to, like,
yes!
Yeah, like,
no!
All those things. Yeah, I totally agree with you. It was a little bit of a stretch. Can we all just admit, though, the fact that it was a stretch doesn't matter when it was, like, Richard Harmon, like, pumping the heart with his hand?
You jump to it!
Yes! I thought that was amazing.
So
guys,
amazing.
Every moment leading up to it.
I wish you guys could have watched me, because literally I was like, oh, I wonder what they're doing with that scalpel. I should probably cover my eyes, because you guys know I'm squeamish. Both these guys here, when they were looking at it, Ben's face was just like, ah, and Tara was just like, yeah, and I was just like, can I look now?
Come on!
There's like a face that I make when, like, something on screen gets me kind of grossed
out.
So
gross.
I can tort my face in this weird way and, like, don't move it until it's over. It's like a weird twitch.
Oh, it was the best.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever seen your face do that in my entire life.
Definitely was grossed
amazing.
Out.
Amazing. But it was awesome.
Well, yeah.
I was just not ready for it.
Because I think for me, kind of going into your whole point about realism, in that, like, they're basically transfusing this brain dead girl, and of course she's gonna start, like, hemorrhaging and things like that.
Yeah.
So, like, the logical step is that, like, she's gonna die and something needs to happen.
Right.
So just the fact that they went there, that, like, they
it's
cut
awesome.
Her open, they, like, hand pumped her. The whole
and
so
the fact,
good.
And the fact that it was Murphy that did it, I was just like, Murphy, man, just can't, he just can't get a break. Oh, that poor guy.
And like, just like with the sweet wrench, she like, just like jams it in and like stretches her chest open. And you're like, oh yeah, this is what I thought. She goes,
sorry, just reliving it.
She goes, open her shirt. And you're like, oh man, are they going to go there? Are we going to really see some on and then it's like, cut her chest open.
Yeah.
Skip the part of this that's even remotely possibly like a sexy thing. We're just going to slit her chest open and open her heart. And like, you're just like watching and you're like, we didn't even bother to go there for a second. It was just like, you use the scalpel, pull it open, jam a piece of metal in, and then start pumping the black heart with her hand.
Right.
I was just like, this show just, wow. Whoa.
It was great. I mean,
so gross. More alcohol?
Yeah, would you like some?
Yes, please.
I mean, who said it? Everyone in the chat right now is saying Murphy was the MVP of this season.
Oh my
and
god.
And I'd agree.
I completely agree with you. I thought Murphy, even though, again, he was getting the crappiest end of the freaking stick.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He made it out on top.
Yeah.
Because he was just top dog.
That's just another day on the ground, says Murphy. He's such a sweet character.
Yeah.
Like, no, definitely really redeemed himself. And we talk about the arcs these characters have gone through since season one. And by next season, I'm hoping we all come back through season four. But by next season, I will watch the whole show again. I'll probably just binge it right before we come
you
back.
You should.
Yeah.
But just like thinking about the way we all felt about Murphy towards the end of the first season. And he's got that scene with Raven when she gets shot and they're kind of lying there and you're finding out a little bit about his history, and they're both kind of loners a little bit, you find out, but like, he's just come such a long way, and I really did feel that feeling of like, you deserve to have this girl because you've gotten just pooped on, man.
No, the entire time.
Yeah, like, it's cool that you got to find your girl.
Yeah. No, I like,
and save her too, because I thought she was definitely not gonna make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Because
we were real close. There was times where I just thought she was just going to fall off a building.
Or something.
Yeah.
Just, like, accidentally get shot. I don't know.
Right.
But I have to respect the fact that on this show, if you're ever to really, truly be, like, redeemed, you have to earn the crap out of it.
True. Absolutely.
Like, anyone who has been relatively despicable has either gone down a dark, dark path, or has had to fight and scrape to get back in everyone's good graces, or they're constantly conflicted, like Bellamy and Clark, where they're always teetering on both sides.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's interesting. We already alluded to it, but I guess it's interesting that Pike was just not going to be able to experience that redemption.
But I don't think that we could have continued with season four without having Pike's past keep coming up over and over and over.
Right.
And I don't think that his character would have progressed. I mean, it's great that he was able to team up with everybody and get everybody to safety, but I didn't think he was going to make it. And I don't think the fans would have liked it, personally.
F. Pikey had it coming, says Crystal Mejia.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
He did have it coming.
I gave that to you.
I just think it's great that it was still Octavia that did it. Instead of him just dying on his own, you know?
Right.
I like that she was just like, hey, thanks for saving me. You're dead now.
Oh, man. Okay, so I want to talk about her whole journey through this episode.
Octavia?
Yes.
Yes. Because, so we get this early piece where she's sitting there sharpening her knife, and it's real sinister.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful.
And then, like, in my mind, the most logical thing is, like, work together and then settle your differences after.
Right.
You know, when you know you're going to survive. But she scrapes him from the beginning, essentially screwing everyone over.
Totally
selfish.
Which
I think she realized as it was happening. She's like, oh, okay, this I should have just waited until the end. Which she technically did.
Yeah.
There's also the moment that she slices his leg and she's standing there watching him on the ground as he's getting beat up. And she has that sort of look, and she's standing in that way, like, I don't know what to do, what did I do, what am I watching?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's one of those moments where you're just like, again, she's like 18, something like that, right around there?
I think she's like 18, 19 years old, maybe 20.
And she's gone, no, it can't be 20, it hasn't been that long.
No.
She was under 18.
Okay, then 18 or 19.
She must be 18.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, again, we forget sometimes because of the circumstances of the characters in the show, but like, she's gone through so much already. But imagine being an angry 18-year-old, like when you're just full of angst and you're full of hormones, and you've watched the love, what you feel is the love of your life, executed. And even though he's on your team, you're looking at this guy And all you can think about is the image of him with Lincoln on his knees, putting a gun to his head, and you're like, I want to work together to survive, but I don't give a shit about that right now.
Right.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just thinking about how angry I am, because, like, I am pissed. I don't want you alive. And that's, I think she did it, and she kind of was like, she didn't know what to do with herself.
Yeah.
And then again, at the end, when she ultimately does what she does, I think it was just like, it's just that anger. She couldn't get past it.
Yeah.
And we've all seen that Octavia doesn't... She
17.
She,
everybody says she's
17. Oh, okay. She's 17. Yeah. Well, that makes more sense now. But at the same time, I understand that she usually... She can usually be pretty logical, but she definitely thinks with her heart more than her head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely at that point in time, even after and her obviously doing her awesome walkout, like, I'm done. It was nice to see her kind of live up to the fact that she's like, even though I did mess up and I should have waited, I like that she still went through with it and was like, no, you're not getting any type of peace. You're going to die.
Right.
Right.
But that made me feel bad for Pike.
A little bit.
Because he, overall, his biggest flaw was that he was so, I won't say noble, but he was so strong in his will and like what his view was, and that's ultimately what his issue was. It wasn't that he was a bad person. It's just that he was strong-willed and had a perspective that we didn't agree with.
Right.
You know, and so in the end he did what was noble, and he saved her.
Yeah.
And helped save everyone else. And then he gets a blade through the stomach.
Yeah, he got just sheared through.
Like, yeah.
Kebabbed. Yeah, I did feel a tiny bit bad for Pike, which is saying something, because I definitely just wanted to see him die. But at the same time, I knew that his character could not move on into the next season. There's no way.
I would have to agree. I mean, I felt a little sympathy for him at the end. When we were talking to Ricky, actually, what he said about Pike's characters, he felt that the execution and them doing with that with the character was actually made him like a less sympathetic character, made him just like a straight villain.
Right.
It's harder to sympathize. And in some ways it's true, obviously, you know, executing a prisoner and all, like, it does kind of send a message as a character. I think his thing was he was just very survivalist and pragmatic. That was the way he looked at the world.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's not going to be pretty. We can't always... I guess it's like this. If you're the star of the show and you're a teenager and you're Clark, essentially, any idea you come up with, even if it's a flawed idea, will inevitably work out. Like,
right.
Because you're the star of the show and that's what the show's about.
Yeah.
But if you're Pike, any idea you have, even if it is based in logic, if it is pragmatic and it is survivalist, it can't work out. Like, it could, but that wouldn't be that interesting.
Right.
So, like, his idea of how to survive ultimately did backfire, and it ultimately did make him a villain. And so he ultimately does die, because that's just, like, the nature of the show. And so I think, like, I felt a little bad for him, but it was also one of those things that's just, like, what do we really expect here? Like, you essentially were the villain of the season.
Right.
No, yeah.
You're not going to make it out. Like, there's just no way. It would have been interesting, but... I guess Jaha survived and Pike didn't. That's weird, right?
I can't believe that.
Can't
but
really
I'm not
believe.
Gonna I'm not gonna get too far into Jaha's whole character.
I mean, Jaha as a character though, like he's survived so much.
He has.
That like it you understand why he stuck around. Also, him as a character as well, you want to see him feel the repercussions of his actions.
Right.
Like, he unleashed this this technical AI virus on everyone, and so you want to see him not suffer for it, but you want to see him pay for it.
Well, let's also not forget with Jaha, back in the day when Jaha left and was like, ha-ha, John, let's look for salvation. And they were like, you know, they went on their journey.
Yeah.
Is that your Isaiah Washington impression? That was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about that happening, he was a man... a man without a country, essentially. He felt totally lost.
Yeah.
He felt disenfranchised what was happening on the Ark. Mm. He didn't feel like he understood the world. He was looking for something. This is before the chip.
Yeah.
He was a madman, already a cult leader before he ever took the chip. Then he took the chip, right? And that's when he got really crazy.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard to imagine Jaha being just forgiven for everything.
Yeah.
All the other characters, I would say, did something because it was like they were forced to.
Yeah.
He... like, that was his choice.
Yeah.
I don't connect to this society anymore. I'm going to go look for a new one. He thought he found it. And granted, I guess he was an AI in the end. He was controlled. But I'm wondering how will these characters deal with him next season? Because you just have to consider he's dangerous. He was dangerous looking for something else.
Yeah.
So
I'm assuming that, I mean, not to get too far into predictions.
Chahai is always crazy.
No, it's true. It's just like, if anyone is a Scrubs fan, it's like, Hooch is crazy. but like, I think that what's going to end up happening is he's probably going to do what he did in season two, beginning of season three, where he just kind of leaves and goes like, I don't belong here, and I've already caused a lot of pain. I should go.
Yeah.
But I don't know where he's going to go.
No.
Or we're just never going to see him again.
He's
got
to be in prison,
do you think,
guys?
That was, yeah,
or
I,
that.
I don't think that you can let Jaha leave, because
come back with something else.
Well, okay, so like, as I said, like, you can think he was, it's not like he was willing to be controlled. That's not really the point, because right. Once you take the chip, you are controlled. So like, maybe he didn't know what he was getting into. But the point is, he was looking for something else very specifically. He was like, did not want to be part of that team anymore. And I think from a point of view of safety, you have to imprison Jaha.
So are we just going to have him in prison for the entirety of season four?
I guess. I mean, it feels like it. It would definitely invite like another one of these just like peripheral controversies of like a man of color in prison. Like it would not like play well, I feel like.
I don't know. I don't like it.
I mean, unless
he
was like
died in this episode, to be honest.
Well,
you guys
so,
know, you, I mean, you, sorry, I threw that out, but you guys know what I'm getting at, right?
There
are
all
peripheral
controversies that come.
Right.
It's like, this is a plot on TV, but then this is also like an offensive thing, and it's like, well, but it's just a plot on TV.
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay. So this will be a nice bridge into like the issues that are introduced for later.
Right.
But I mean, if we do end up having him in the in prison, then he could be a nice like Hannibal Lecter-y type character.
Oh,
because he's had to deal with
that.
Yeah. I mean,
okay.
He's had to deal with like being a pragmatic person in terms of like, these are how many people can survive. This is like what it takes to exist in this world that is dying.
I would hate to see Isaiah Washington in prison the entire time.
Yeah. Though. Well, we also forget, though, that he was the chancellor up top when they were in the sky.
True.
He ran the whole show. So there is a certain amount of like him being in prison, like, I made mistakes, I'm enlightened, I'm a little untrustworthy, but I did know how to run a society, so I can be of value. And that could be like an interesting angle, I guess. Can Wells come back, says someone.
I would like for that to be a thing.
Wells in the City of Light. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, Wells cannot come back. The answer is no.
No, not that. I'll talk about Jaha. Anyway, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about Jaha's character right now.
My mind is blown that he's alive. That's probably, if I was going to go into this episode, what would be the biggest surprise?
Yeah.
It would be Jaha living. It seemed so preposterous to me.
Yeah.
How many lives does that guy have? He flew down from space.
He has 9 lives.
In a rocket.
Yeah.
He like then left society and found himself in like a winner-take-all prison situation against Kane. One of them managed to survive somehow.
Mm-hmm.
He like left civilization and wandered through a minefield with like no idea what he was doing.
Yeah.
Managed to survive that somehow. Became the show's ultimate villain. Somehow managed to like get deactivated and not die. Now he's just alive still. Got shot, I think, but I think he's just still alive.
He's just a cat with 9 lives. He's just gonna make it to the end, guys. I'm actually, speaking of Kane, I was quite surprised of how... No, I'm glad that he survived. I'm very happy with that. You guys know that. But it was interesting to see his character break down from being such a tough character from day one to now. I mean, we've seen him have his emotional times, but this is like, I was trying to kill Bellamy.
Yeah.
Like, fully choking him out and couldn't control myself, and he completely just broke down. I thought it was great. His character.
We talked a lot about the sort of like sci-fi horror thing, the sort of zombie element.
Yeah,
so much.
Very much enjoyed it. Did I say the movie Dark? What's Dark City? Dark City. No, what the hell is that movie? Anyway, it's a similar thing though. Of like, just it's not like zombie, like snarling zombies. It's like people possessed. Though actually, to that end, the snarling thing.
Yes.
When Abby was about to come back, there was a part of me, because I've watched so much Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead recently, where I was just waiting for her to be like, and like get up and bite Clark.
That would have been weird.
Yeah.
Also, I'd be okay with it.
pretty cool.
But like when they started climbing the building,
it was very was it World War Z
kind of scene.
And then I pointed out, if anyone has watched any Disney movie, Hunchback of Notre Dame, where they're throwing up like ladders to climb up there to get to Quasi, was like a whole thing. And I played that weird PC game also where you have to kick people off. I'm not gonna get into it.
It's getting out of hand.
Sorry. But I did like it. I thought that was very... I did like the fact that we continued with the sci-fi horror, with the fact of zombies crawling up.
Yeah.
Do we even know how tall that tower is?
It has to be at least...
Holy crap.
Like, at least... 20 to 30 stories.
Because I know that they can't feel pain, so I'm guessing they can't feel tired either. Because right. Holy crap, they climbed the entire, like, the my muscles building. Would be yeah. killing me after she'd hit the kill switch. I'd be like, oh, God, I can't move forever.
I mean, that's why they all collapsed. They were just like, God, guys, we're tired. Like, we just
climbed
can't.
30 stories.
Yeah.
So to that end, I actually think we talked about at the very beginning of the season. I remember saying that I was not particularly pleased with the sort of like that sort of City of Light AI storyline. I was annoyed by it. Yeah. I remember at the beginning.
I was on the same point. I was on the same boat.
I just wasn't that interested.
Right.
It ended up being a very, very cool part of the story. And I actually liked what they did with this season. The season had some ups and downs, obviously, and there were some lower moments. I was thinking a lot tonight about the Emerson episode. That was just the biggest waste of an episode in retrospect. Like, we said it at the time, but it was just such that feels like such a placeholder episode.
Right.
But thinking about the way that they ended up using the AI, and they really did go in this sci-fi horror direction, very cool.
Yeah.
Really happy with the way it turned out. And looking back at the whole season, I think that was a big win.
Yeah. And speaking of sci-fi, let's jump into the City of Light. Because, this is what everyone's been waiting for. Yeah. It's The Matrix. It's Inception. It's all the things. Lawnmower Man. Like, it's everything you want.
Lawnmower Man Part 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told that story.
Yeah.
oh boy.
And Sword Art Online.
No, like everything. Like anything you could think of, a laundry list of movies, it was in this episode.
Yeah.
Completely. Or this season in general. It was crazy. I loved Jasper eating ice cream, walking around that like Happy Leo.
One of my favorite moments. What would you do in the City of Light? Well, I would eat strawberry ice cream and sit on a bench. That's what Jasper would do.
What else would you do?
I'll take a double scoop.
I think a triple scoop. That was crazy.
Yeah. For me, the weirdest part was all these people in, like, regular outfits, but with, like, face tattoos.
No, but it switched. Did you see that?
Yeah, totally. They were all super clean right at
first.
They were
all super clean, and then as soon as they started to notice Clark, they all changed. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that the Grounders would change completely.
Yeah.
It's like, it is like Sword Art Online, where everyone's avatar changes. Uh-huh. And instead of it being a woman, it's a dude. That's
right.
Great.
Sword Art Online is an anime where these people are in a virtual world and they get trapped there, and so they originally have avatars, and then everyone's given a mirror that makes them look exactly like they do in the real world.
Got it.
It was good. And also, there's a dual wielding spoiler. There's a dual wielding swordsman in Sword Art Online that fights just like Lexa. Speaking of Lexa, Lexa's back.
That was
for an episode.
Okay, legitimately.
Okay, you go first.
Legitimately, that was the single best moment of the whole season. Like, for me.
Completely agree.
100%.
I have to take off my glasses.
And so, it was, as has been well covered now by the media and so much, it was a tough break when Lexa died. It was not done in a way that was very, it was not satisfying for the fans.
Nope.
And without knowing how this was going to end, it was extremely open-ended. Why did she die? Why couldn't she have just left? Why couldn't she have gone into exile, right? There's so many things. How she died. And agreed, it did suck. She should not have caught a stray bullet from her, like, male servant. It was just such a, it was such an F you. And to a trope that now I think we all are so much more aware of. But it's, that was a bummer.
Aware of.
Mm-hmm. For her to have died, though, to be able to come back like this in this moment was so awesome. I mean, it does not justify that it was handled, but so satisfying.
But it was, it also really showed that we didn't have Lexa just kind of stand there and show up. She completely went jumping in, swords out, and kicking ass the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
The whole badass thing we wanted out of Rowan, she was so cool.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
She took out everybody. She was so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it is a bummer that that's a character we're not going to get to see on TV anymore.
But I liked how she went out this time.
Yeah,
she went out fighting, and that's what we wanted. She's a warrior, and that's how it should have ended.
Right.
Which I'm, again, super sad, hence why the makeup, but she was fantastic, and I loved that we got to see her back for this, exactly how it ended up.
What's it going to take? Start a Kickstarter campaign. 4-part miniseries, Grounders, Lex's origin story, Lisha Debham Carey plays Lexa. We get the whole, and how much money would we have to raise as like a Kickstarter campaign?
That's my idea.
Or like a Patreon account or something, like an Indiegogo, GoFundMe.
Because I know that Fear the Walking Dead and Walking Dead have done miniseries online, yeah. Like AMC has done that. I would love to see a Lexa miniseries or just even Grounders Encyclopedia just to know what happened from when we first lost the Earth and then who was left over, what happened completely with Becca and all that kind of crazy stuff. Like, I want to see all of it and then the start of Lexa. As like a separate one,
right?
Because I feel like we don't get enough of that. We
agreed.
Just get little snippets.
Yeah,
it was a total reminder for me, just because social media has pumped this character through the roof. It was hard to even remember actually watching the show and like how it felt then, because there's just been so much imagery and like Twitter's right. crazy. But then seeing her in this episode, I was reminded of like, not only was this a great character, but their relationship was awesome. It was yeah. so cool how they built it over a whole season. And when they finally did have their moment, like, you guys remember when they first kissed? Like, that first moment? And you were like, whoa, what's going on here? Clark, what? And then it took a whole season for them to actually consummate their relationship. Was just, yeah, I don't know. It was just cool. And she saved Clark, and I loved it.
Again?
It was just my favorite. I really loved it.
I was really sad not to get off the Lexa topic, because I could talk about her all the time. I was a little upset that Clark couldn't fight back. I mean, I know that she was obviously going through something because the fact that she was like, I'm dying, yeah. essentially.
Yeah.
But I was kind of sad because we were so used to her being one hater, and I didn't like that she was just kind of like, oh God, I'm getting beat up. I wanted to see her try to fight back even just a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It made up for the fact of obviously Lexa coming in and helping her out. You know
right.
what I mean? But and then she obviously had her moment at the very end.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
Clark's not a fighter, though. She's, yeah.
She fights sometimes, more of a planner.
Right.
More of a planner, but
and,
I would have liked to
and a lover.
See her very much so, which is totally fine. But I don't know, I just wanted her to do something.
Yeah, you wanted this, like, back-to-back moment where Lexa throws a sword
yeah.
and they're each fighting it. Yeah.
Lexa's maybe down, and maybe one of her swords is down, and Clark picks it up and starts going to town.
Because
fighting
she,
back-to-back.
She's back with Lexa, and that's how it should be. Whatever, I'm not going to get into the fan fiction.
Them
it's
against,
fine.
Come on!
It's them against the world.
Get your fan fiction typewriters going.
Nah, look, all we can say is, it does not excuse how it was handled,
no.
but it was about as satisfying of an appearance in the finale, and one that we ultimately knew was coming. Can you imagine if we hadn't known? What if they hadn't had fans to set? And we had no inkling whatsoever.
Fans would go insane.
Like, yeah. And like they hadn't listed her on the IMDb. They'd been secret about it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had just shown up.
Crazy.
I already lost my mind. I would have lost
yeah.
my mind.
Our producers had to tell us to shut up because we were screaming at the television. It was great.
Yeah.
Though not to toot my own horn or anything, but I called it, guys.
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
Just gonna
toot that. Just beep.
Toot,
just
toot.
Just beep.
Okay, I'm gonna put my granny glasses back on now.
But yeah, and I liked, for me, at least, I think that this whole season, not season, but the whole scene leading up to the kill switch scene
right.
was great. Like, because it was everyone being at the top of their intelligence. Everyone
yep.
was working towards a single goal. We had the people who were fighting outside to protect Clark. We had Raven and Monty trying to help her with the back door. We had Clark and Lexa fighting inside and, like, ultimately led to this one room where we have a face-off between Alley 1, Alley 2, and Clark in the middle. And it was a really interesting scene. It was a very long scene.
Oh my God, you
took
guys!
Took a little long. I just wanted to say that really quickly before that happened,
yeah.
when Raven types the code and the metal door appears in the alleyway.
Yeah.
So just before they cut to Raven, and you're like, oh, Raven did it. Because
mm-hmm.
I was, in my mind, just like, Clark, you know, she's a Nightblood now because she has the blood and she's got the chip. I was like, the
you
thing
think
appeared.
She just thought that up?
I was like, she's the one. It was the Matrix moment. I was like, oh, she can totally, she's Neo. She can be like, I want a door there. And she gets a door.
Right.
And then it was like, Raven
see,
did it.
See, I love Clark. I love her so much. Did not think
no.
that her brain was thinking, oh my gosh, I should think of a door out here. No.
I didn't say it loud. I mean, I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind, I was like, she is the one. What's she doing? She's believing.
Yeah. Nice.
Nope, it's Raven.
Yeah.
Her mom is.
Though I guess that does bring up a point that, like, in the City of Light, you're supposed to be able to do anything. You're
yeah.
supposed to be,
yeah.
like, your best self. So that, I found it interesting that, like, people were so relatively limited. Also that you have to assume that Lexa was killing people in real life. So that was the thing. But in this room, We get a bunch of exposition about how the world is slowly dying because there are power plants that are exploding and leaking radiation.
Right.
And soon the world will be worse off than it was when the bombs went off.
Which is weird, because, I mean, sure, Allie will do anything to get what she wants. Right. And that's fine, but how do we actually know that she did it, besides the fact of what we were seeing from being in the City of Light?
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, it was definitely... The deliberation, as we talked about, was long-winded when Clark was up there and she was looking
God.
At Kill Switch. And that's, I think, just because it was, like, 20 seconds, and then it was, like, 2 minutes of episode later is what it felt like.
Right.
But even so, like, I just was kind of like, Clark, you're so smart. You've worked so hard. You've literally gambled everything to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that the ultimate villain is this AI who's super smart.
Yeah.
And you're standing here, and she's saying all these things to you, and you're actually listening and taking this down to the wire, and you're even entertaining the thought when it's like, in reality, as soon as you flip the switch, she's just gone. So, like, maybe she's telling the truth, but who cares? Like, you're gonna have to deal with the problem one way or another anyway.
I mean,
you think living in the City of Light's not the way to live, so you're gonna have to just deal with the real world. Like, I don't know. I was kind of annoyed. I felt like as soon as she even saw the kill switch, she should have just flipped it.
I mean, obviously we had to do it just for the fact of having suspense, but right, I felt like the suspense was long-lived. I think it was already there. We got what was happening, but I think we all knew exactly what you were saying.
Right.
That we knew she was going to hit the kill switch. I don't understand what we need all that dialogue for.
I mean, in action movies, when the guy has to defuse the bomb, and they're like, you have 2 minutes, and it's like, done! At a minute 58, you're like, that wouldn't be very exciting. It's like, it's always down to, like, 3 seconds left and he clips the wire. So, like, yeah, you had to do it.
Right.
That's dumb.
Though, I mean, I would say that for a second, I thought that maybe she was going to find a way to merge them without it being a hostile environment.
Smart.
So, like, finding a way to work with the one that is very human-oriented and the one that is very, I guess, not survival-oriented, but very calculating.
You're talking about the two Allies.
The two Allies, yes.
The real Allie, or the scientist.
Allie 1 and Allie 2.
Becca.
Yeah. So I thought that maybe that was going to be the case, but I understand why it took her a little bit of time to figure it out, in that, like, she, the world itself that they've landed on is a harsh place.
Yeah.
So, like, if they could spend the rest of their existence in this world where they feel no pain, maybe it would be worth it. Because essentially now they're on they're fighting a losing battle against a world that doesn't want to exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Well, okay. Uh-oh. The reality of that, though, is like all of that fake world is rooted in technology.
Right.
And that technology is preserved by like an extremely volatile backpack with like essentially a nuclear reactor inside it and a bunch of computer programs that are just existing, which, like, if everyone's dead and it's just like supposed to just be running on its own to keep the world alive, well, if nuclear reactors are exploding and the world is like being destroyed, they'll just blow up and eventually get corrupted and destroyed anyway, and then the world's just over. In the same way that the human race would die, your fake human race of AI people in the City of Light would also die if explosions were happening and things were getting destroyed.
Yeah, but I see it as, if I can't have the world, no one will. Kind of thing. So even if she did end up losing the City of Light, because obviously the backpack gets blown up and everything else gets blown up, it doesn't matter if she technically won.
Right. And in her eyes, it would be better for everyone to go out in a blink, because essentially if she's knocked out, then everyone will just cease to exist, mm-hmm. as opposed to a slow, painful death that they would face on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony Slate up here suggests they're going to space again. Do you think it's possible?
I don't know.
It's possible that with the new circumstances, they're going to try to go back to space somehow?
There's no way to get to space, though.
Unless they take the Arcadia apart and figure out a way to do that.
I mean, Raven, like, MacGyvers everything. She's just she's like, give me some bolts and nuts and this chipboard, and I'll build an EMP thing.
But are they going to take whatever's left of Arcadia, I don't even know how many people we have left from space in general, one. Two, are they going to take Grounders with them? Two, how are you going to fit all those people? It's not an arc, an actual arc. Like, you can just take, like, it's not, I don't know.
It seems unlikely. How did you guys feel about the decision to introduce that plot, though, in that moment? Because obviously you knew exactly how that had to end, but for them to introduce this idea, the world is ending. So even when you win, you don't win. And Clark addresses this to Bellamy, obviously.
Right.
Like, did it... you want to plant a seed for season four. I get that. But at the same time, like... I don't know. I was unsatisfied by it. I didn't really like the way it made me feel about the season ending. This was a season where I was like, I don't mind there being a bow on everything, and there was a bow on everything, except kind for that of. And Pike.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yes. I think that it could have been introduced a little differently. Like, there could have been a chance that Allie maybe interacted with Clark before she had reached that room.
Right.
So Allie 1, essentially throughout her journey in the City of Light, is kind of dropping these little pieces of information so that, like, when she finally gets there, it's her own hesitation as opposed to a two-sided discussion.
Yeah. Right.
So, yes, maybe it could have been done differently, but I think that the way it played out, there was no other logical place to put it. Like, that, having it be a back and forth at that moment, since everything else was culminating, we had the people fighting and we had, like, everyone working on the other side. Mm-hmm. I think that that was the best place to put it.
It's fair.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was bad. I was just, like, a little, like, put off by it.
Yeah.
I guess it sort of means the idea that we could have a time jump in season four, like we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's possible we could jump forward to whatever the decision that has been made is.
Yeah.
But it's also less likely. It feels much more like we're going to pick up right where we left off because Octavia's walked away and we have this new problem.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we could jump 2 months or 6 months or even 2 years and see what's happened or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, either way, I mean, I'm assuming that Allie was speaking the truth and the world is ending, but I don't know how they're going to get out of this or figure out a way to stop what's happening or slow it down or whatever. So I don't know. It's weird and interesting to see what's going to happen with season four. And it was a very weird, not cliffhanger thing that we just ended on too.
Yeah.
I have two thoughts for season four. The first one is we've really seen them gamble with the whole Game of Thrones style thing here of sort of no one's safe and they can just do anything. Like, this show continues to surprise me every week. Like, I mean, you do have those slower, like the Emerson episode, but you have really cool stuff happen here. And they take out characters. Very, very interesting stuff happens. So that part of me is like, I wonder if we're just going to live on this, like, nuclear reactor world where, like, it's just, like, kind of like the nuclear apocalypse again, you know, characters dying and stuff. The other part of me, though, is because of all that controversy and backlash that happened this season, I wonder what chances the writers are going to be willing to take as far as the show pushing boundaries and sort of being interesting.
Right.
There was so much negativity in the middle of the season this season.
Yeah.
Just interacting with various executives and publicists. It was just very clear that was, everybody's just like, come on, like, let's get away from the negative. Like, let's just, it's a fun show. Yeah. So I am curious what the writing staff is going to do for season four, if it'll continue to kind of have that no holds barred feel to it.
Yeah.
I mean, they have 6 months.
To figure
out how to survive if it gets worse or not, or if they fix it
right
in some way, shape, and form.
Right.
So
yeah,
they have time. If we had 3 months that came in from season two to season three, then
right.
Why not? I mean, and we know from the interview that our very own Yael Teagle had with Jay Roth that I mean, essentially, after everything that took place, like, they decided they're going to have a post-mortem, talk about what the issues were, how to fix them. They're revamping their writer's room. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I know that, so we're definitely going to have fresh eyes. We're definitely going to have a more, I guess, a more, not a more thoughtful writer's room, but, like, they're definitely going to be taking some things into account. But also, I don't think that they're going to temper back just the edginess of the show.
Yeah.
Because it's what makes The 100 unique, and it's what gives it its heart, is that, like, they push the boundaries and they do things that other shows aren't really doing on regular network television.
Right.
I totally agree with you. And I'm not really worried about it. I don't really think it's going to happen. I actually, I feel like as someone who sort of experienced, like, that backlash firsthand on Twitter and tried to, like, really interact with it. I've actually really seen the approach is now split into two factions.
Right.
And there are the people that believe Jason Rothenberg should have been fired or the show should be canceled. And then there's an enormous population of people that really believe it's about positive growth. It's about change. It's about bringing awareness to the issue. And we're not going to hold the show accountable because we love the show. we, you know, it's like, we've loved the characters, we're going to try to promote this in a positive way and educate the world, which is like, that's my attitude, is there's nothing about this show that makes me feel like we would want to lose it because there was a controversial handling of a gay character. That's not fair. Like, right. That's totally unfair, and I think the show is courageous, and I think it's wonderful, and I don't think that the writers would be that closed-minded. So,
right.
Hopefully we continue to see the show we've learned to love, you know?
Yeah. So we're getting really, really short on time. Yeah. So I guess we're already kind of talking about it a little bit. So real fast, let's talk, say what we want to see the next season, what we think is going to happen.
I love the light show.
I want a very important and distinct Octavia storyline. I want Octavia to be like almost like one of the centerpieces of season four. She's one of my favorite characters on the show. She's a total badass. I love that she killed Pike. Even though it's kind of screwed up, I love that she did it. And she was such kind of a secondary character for a lot of season three, that I would love to see the season sort of start out with, like, what's she going to do? How's she going to live? Even if she leaves the group, just her story in isolation would be fascinating to me.
I think she's definitely going to be in isolation, and I think that's good for her to be less in her character. I think that it's a good time, since we saw Octavia grow so much as a character, even from season one to now, even season two to now, I think that this would be a good opportunity to start putting more emphasis on Clark or anybody at this point, because I know that everyone has gone through a lot of loss, everyone has gone through a lot of different trauma that we will have to figure through, so I think hopefully with all the crazy twists and turns that we will come with, I hope that we will get more meat out of everyone's story. I think that's the one thing that, as much as I love Lexa and I loved her story and I loved Polis and everything about it, I do want these characters that we have learned to love to get better stories in general.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jasper definitely has gone through a lot. I love that we finally got a Monty Jasper makeup for real this time instead of actually being stabbed with a screwdriver halfway through. So I think that it's just good. And I think that this is a good time to start doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I want Clark to try to pull together the 13 clans. I guess,
oh, that'd be cool.
13 or 12 or 13 clans.
Yeah. They were the 13th clan,
so that essentially now they have their fetch quest, and so they have seven locations and they have 13 clans, and they can kind of take them on, and so that will give us an opportunity to meet the other clans, figure out more about this world and how other people have adapted, because we finally got to meet the people on the tanker, so it's cool. So
I would like to see also more Nadja Hilker, what's her character's name, on the rig.
Oh, Luna.
Luna. I want Luna to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's definitely got to. I think she's going to in some way, shape, and form.
Yeah.
Great. All right. So we got to wrap out. So thank you so much for joining us this whole season for the 100. Thank you for tweeting us and following us and giving us all the likes and thumbs up and commenting every week and coming back to join us. We love doing the show. We love hearing from you. Make sure to keep up with us between the seasons. Where can they find you, Alexis Torres?
You can find me all over social media at atorres890. Definitely hit me up. I've got a YouTube channel as well. I do vlogs, and I do the Hump Day lunch hour vlog on Wednesdays, and I would love to hear your guys' input.
Nice. Ben Bateman.
Guys, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. I will be launching a YouTube channel very shortly, like within the next week. I've got like a whole plan I'm rolling out, so that'll be cool. I'm not going to share any details here just yet, but follow me on Twitter at Ben Bateman Media, and you'll be able to figure out all of what's going on.
Nice. And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. It's TauriJay. Also here on AfterBuzz TV and assorted other places, which you can find on my Twitter. And also on my Instagram. Follow that because I need more followers. Boom!
Sick dog.
So, again, thank you very much. We will see you in the fall or the winter, depending on when it comes back.
I think it's winter.
But we will miss you. Thank you again. We will see you soon. Until then, stay grounded.
Bye, guys. We love you.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
I like this.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.